course, that means it's time for a Wolves Wednesday here on Kate Radio. As the roller coaster season of what we call the 2022-2023 Minnesota Timberwolves continues. They're in Denver tonight, taking on the Nuggets. Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network joins us. And Callie, a good afternoon. How's it going today?
We're doing well, yeah. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Now, let's jump right to it. And I mentioned this before, because just when you think the Timberwolves have, you know, made the strides in the right direction, they've turned the corner, they said goodbye to that loss to Detroit on New Year's Eve, they get beat by that same Detroit team. Then they come back and they beat Phoenix, a shorthanded Phoenix Suns team, but they get a win. Very a quality win against a Cleveland, 110-102 on Saturday night. I was there on Saturday. Very fun atmosphere. And then on Monday, the Utah Jazz, obviously with Beasley and Vanderbilt. Those guys have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to play their best ball anytime they come to Target Center. Minnesota loses by a point. Now, I know we've been suffering some injuries. Rudy Gobert played very limited minutes in that game against Utah. Part of me is, this is just the way the Timberwolves season has gone, you know, kind of a streaky team. At the same time, I do look at the rest of the NBA, and this seems to be a common theme for a lot of teams in the NBA, and maybe not just our ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. If you mentioned that Phoenix Suns team and all the guys there without, you know, they in that loss to the Wolves, they were without Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Cam Johnson. I mean, the list goes on. And they're potentially going to see the bottom fall out if they don't get some guys back soon and start to win games in terms of where they are in the standings. And I think it's just kind of where we are at this point of the season. You know, it's maybe a little early, but some teams will start to glance and peek ahead at the All-Star break, which is about a month from now. Everyone is dealing with injuries to some extent. Obviously, the Wolves being without Karl Anthony Towns for over the last month, he's such a huge piece. And Jordan McLaughlin, really, in what he does for the second unit, they're not absolved from injury issues, but there are also teams that are dealing with it just as bad or worse. So I think the Wolves just kind of have to keep the blinders on and keep their eyes forward on who they're playing that given night. And, you know, you mentioned Rudy Gobert dealing with the groin injury and him kind of, you know, being questionable, a 50-50 game time decision for each of these last few matchups. They just have to focus on, all right, whoever we have available is who we have available, and that's how we kind of build our game plan.
Timberwolves right now 22-23 on the season. They sit in the number 9 spot in the Western Conference. That game on Monday, it was a tough one. Jaden McDaniels had a wide open look at a 3 at the buzzer. It did not go, and that's the way a games go sometimes. You're that close to a snatching victory from defeat. In that game, Walker Kessler had a double-double. He was our first-round draft pick. He was part of the trade to obtain Rudy Gobert. I think Timberwolves fans are going to have a tough time watching him perform so good, because he came out and played really good on Monday and showed why he was a first-round draft choice.
Yeah, certainly. He's kind of found a groove of late as well, especially since he's assumed a few more minutes with Utah over the last, you know, week or two. And it probably would have been a different stat line if Rudy hadn't exited early in that first half. You know, I think those guys would have almost probably canceled each other out inside in terms of their similar skill sets. Walker Kessler will be one of the names kind of linked in that Rudy Gobert deal. And I don't blame Wolves fans for probably keeping one eye on him as he puts together a really impressive rookie season so far. But that's the price of poker. That's what you got to give up to get a guy like Rudy Gobert. And we've seen the impact he can have when he's healthy. It just was unfortunate that he was absent in that second half last night. Monday night they certainly could have used Rudy, especially in that fourth quarter when the Jazz caught fire and hit, I think, their first 11 shots in that final frame, and really only slightly cooled off from there. Still shot 70%+ in the quarter. And all that said, you mentioned Jaden McDaniels had a pretty good look at the buzzer that would have won the game for Minnesota had it dropped. So it reminded me of the New Orleans loss a couple weeks ago where Anthony Edwards had a game-winning attempt just off the mark. And I think both of those shots were pretty good looks. And that is just – that's kind of how it goes sometimes in the NBA. You know, there's the head-scratcher against Detroit where, you know, you look at that on paper and think, man, the Wolves really would have liked to have that one, certainly. And then we heard from Jalen Noel after the win against the Suns that they're kind of – you know, they're not lingering on the Detroit loss, but they're keeping it in the back of their mind to kind of use as fuel and motivation, and played two really good games against the Suns and Cavs and then came up just short. So, you know, they've still won six of their last eight. Yes, Monday afternoon stings, but I think overall, over the last week or even 2 weeks, you can take a lot of good things and kind of, you know, make the ruling that this team has shown progress in the last 8 to 10 games.
Kel Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network on a Wolves Wednesday. I do want to look back at the Cleveland win, a 110-102 victory. I believe that was the game where Luke Garza came in and was pretty much instant offense for our Timberwolves. And it was nice at Target Center. Cleveland put Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio in the game for the first time together, and they got a nice ovation from the Target Center crowd. And it doesn't matter where those two guys are playing. I think there's always going to be lots of love from T-Wolves fans for Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, certainly. And I thought it was a class move by Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff. I would probably assume, I would doubt that, you know, Rubio and Kevin are checking in together every single game. But J.B. is a guy who's very closely tied to the Twin Cities hoops community here. He spent time with the Wolves organization. Former Gopher, so I think he kind of recognized the moment, and that was cool of him to make sure that packed crowd at Target Center on Saturday could pay respects to those two guys. Both Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio were, you know, huge fan favorites. They were arguably two of some of the only bright spots from some of those teams that they played on, and especially for Ricky, I think, with, you know, the fact that just earlier in the week he had made his return from the lengthy recovery and absence due to the ACL injury. So for fans to kind of, you know, get to acknowledge that it was great to have him back out on the floor, probably a really cool moment for him too. And then, yeah, it was great for the Wolves. You know, all the fans could honor those guys and show them some love, but then at the same time still get a victory. And they needed all hands on deck in the front court with, you mentioned Luka Garza. I thought Naz Reid had an incredible second half, really bringing the energy with some big plays, and the crowd just kind of seemed to feed off of that energy, and you know, they needed it, because that was another game where Rudy Gobert tried to give it a go with that groin injury in the first half. He was he exited late in the first half, and then the team quickly ruled him out as the second half got started. So that's when we kind of realized, all right, no more Rudy, and we saw more minutes for guys like Luka and Naz, and everyone really stepped up. So that's a credit to those big men on the bench, that when they step in, they can assume more of that role.
Kel, let's talk about the Denver Nuggets on the road tonight. Going to be a tough matchup in the Mile High City at 9 o'clock tip-off. Did I read this right? Denver has lost just one game in their last 10, and that was against us? Does that sound correct?
It wouldn't surprise me, especially with the way they've played at home. They've really established a home court advantage this year. Well, really, they're tough every year at Ball Arena, but especially in terms of the home record, they've got one of the very best home records so far this year. Nikola Jokic is putting together another MVP-worthy season, and you know, he's got his team right near the top of the Western Conference. In fact, I believe at the top of the Western Conference right now.
Correct.
He had a 30-point triple-double last night, so it will be a tall task. And you know, for whatever reason, the Wolves have played well so far this year against the Nuggets, including that win the Wolves had on January 2nd, right after the New Year's weekend. So, you know, the Wolves, they do some things well in terms of scheming ways to really make it tough for Nikola Jokic, and I think they've got to obviously keep that up. that gives them a great edge if they can even just slow him down or, you know, force him into only 70% of his normal production or 65%. But then it will be, you know, can Anthony Edwards continue to do everything he's done from a playmaking standpoint? Or if Rudy Gobert, who's questionable again tonight, if they decide to rest him or not rest him, but hold him out with that injury, considering that they're beginning a back-to-back, they'll be right back at the Target Center tomorrow against the Raptors, then it's again, you need big games from guys like Naz Reid and Luka Garza, and even Nate Knight could see some minutes. So it really will be, you know, if they're able to keep the momentum going against the Nuggets, and it's impressive that they've been able to have some good performances this year against, obviously, one of the class teams in their conference, they'll need to have basically good games up and down the roster. They can't hurt themselves with the turnovers. And, again, you have to try to limit the Joker in terms of all the different ways he can hurt you offensively.
Kel Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network, like Kel mentioned, very good at home. They are 20-3 at home this season. They have won 7 games in a row. And I want to talk about the West for a second. You want to talk about changing of the guards when it comes to the top teams in the West. Nuggets, the number one seed. Memphis, a half game back. The Grizzlies have won 10 games in a row. You got Zion Williamson and the Pelicans at 3. Sacramento, the Kings, maybe the biggest surprise. They've won 4 in a row. They sit in the number 4 spot. Now, will this play out like this the rest of the year? We have a lot of basketball yet to be played, but it's hard to believe those 4 teams are ahead of teams like the Warriors, the Clippers, the Timberwolves, and the Suns. Are we seeing maybe the youth taking over and maybe some new big dogs in the West?
And that's what I think is fascinating, and it's a great point that you brought up. And, you know, we often hear from people that want to knock the NBA is, boy, you know, you don't need 82 games. Some of these December and January games are mostly pointless. But it's going to be fascinating to watch over the final basically 2 months, 2.5 months of this season. You know, can the Suns get guys back healthy? Will the Warriors kind of shift their focus and priority? We've seen the Warriors, especially the Clippers, are guilty of this too. They're not shy about resting their guys if they feel like they need to do some injury management or load management. We've seen, you know, the Warriors hold out basically their entire starting lineup in certain games. Does that change so that they can kind of climb out of that play-in picture, or maybe are they completely comfortable just assuming that they have to win one or win 2 games in that play-in tournament? And, yeah, can teams like the Kings, they've been one of the surprise stories of the NBA really this year in terms of where they are in the West. And I think it's, you know, I think it's safe to assume teams like the Nuggets and the Grizzlies, you know, their identity, barring bad injuries or anything over the next couple months, they're probably going to remain near the top of the conference. But then, can the Kings keep it up? You know, all those previously thought of heavy hitters like the Suns, like the Warriors, like the Clippers, can they get guys healthy and will they start to find a rhythm and maybe try to make a run? You know, even the Dallas Mavericks, after they upset the Suns last year in the playoffs and made the Western Conference Finals, everyone kind of thought, all right, that's a team that can make a jump and be a top 3 seed this year, and they've probably underperformed to their standards. So I think, you know, any given night, you'll see a lot of standings shifting. You'll see some leapfrogging. Obviously, the Timberwolves are trying to climb up out of this play-in grouping as well. But even just from a league-wide perspective, we'll see a lot of movement over the next couple months, and I think that's what will make, you know, some of these games and some of these weeks where it's previously not all that much on the line, I think there will be some storylines to follow that will make it pretty intriguing.
Denver tonight, again, only 3 losses for the Nuggets on their home floor this season at Ball Arena. Try to end their 7-game win streak. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off. Toronto's in town tomorrow night if you're venturing through the snow to Target Center. Then Houston at home on Saturday, on the road at Houston coming up on Monday. Kel Soderquist, again, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network, joins us for a Wolves Wednesday. Kel, thank you so much for the time. Always great stuff. Have a good week, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you, Aaron. Always appreciate our chats, and let's hope we're talking more wins next week.